Petra is amazing. Yes. If you ever go to Petra, where they show these tombs that are just hewn out of the rock, that is amazing. I enjoyed, we saw the Holy Way. We saw Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which we went to the Mount of Olives too. And, of course, there are more kitschy religious shops than you can count. There are, everywhere you go, there seems to be a kitschy religious shop selling stuff. One of the highlights, though, that I want to point out was our visit to the base of the Temple Mount, not for something beautiful, but for something not so beautiful. This is the base of the Temple Mount, and these are the stones that made up the upper parts of the temple. They are still there 2,000 years after they fell. And these are not small stones either. You may be able to see in the corner a few people there. You can just get kind of an idea of just how massive these stones are and what an engineering feat it must have been to put them in place in the first place. If there's one thing that history teaches us, it's that all things come to an end. You can go back to the sermon slide. Thank you. Second Temple Judaism came to an end, to be succeeded by its Pharisaic descendants, Rabbinic Judaism, and the early Christian church. And yes, for all the negative portrayals of Pharisees in the New Testament, there was a huge influence on the early Christian church that the Pharisees had through Paul and through James. Every great power has an expiration date. From Egypt to Rome to the British Empire to our own great nation, they all have expiration dates. Every city has its birth and its death. Religious institutions do too, including congregations. Even the Crystal Cathedral of Orange County, California, once one of the wealthiest congregations on the planet, had to sell their building in 2013 and declare bankruptcy. Everything comes to an end. And that fact can make us very anxious. And when we're anxious, one of the first things we might want to do is to exert control somewhere, to have something stable when our world seems to be falling apart. And that's what Peter, James, Andrew, and John do. They ask, when is this going to happen? Let me get out my calendar. Okay, Jesus, when is this going to happen so I can mark the date? How long do I have before I have to get it together? Do I need to start my prepping now? Do I need to go out and buy a bunch of toilet paper and, bags of rice and beans and stuff? Should I go out and buy a sword? Does this mean the end of Roman occupation? Does this mean the end of the world? Give me something, Jesus. Give me something I can hold on to. Back when I was beginning my ministry, I would say that you might need to watch late night TV to hear these questions asked. Now they're everywhere. So what is the mission of the church in an anxiety-filled time, when worlds are changing? What are we to do when old ways and norms of being are overturned and we wake up in a different kind of world? The mission of the church does not change and has not changed. We live according to Jesus' way of being, not of domination and exploitation, which is the way of the world, the way of every single human power. We live according to Jesus' way of love, forgiveness, mercy. We don't fall for all the messianic pretenders and long-standing idols out there, which promise prosperity and security. There are a few old favorites that we human beings have. There's money and things. There's ideology. There's the lure of power over rather than power with. There's tribalism. There are those who promise to fix everything without any sacrifice or anything on our part. None of these people and things can deliver, ultimately. None can save. None can heal. And we know this because we know that ultimately, only God in Christ saves us. Only God in Christ heals us. And with that knowledge, with our security in Jesus Christ and his love for the world, we can endure anything the world throws at us, however long it lasts. After all, as Jesus says, these are the beginning of the birth pangs. And they've been going on for quite a while, haven't they? Ever since Jesus walked out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, we've been in the end times. We've been in these birth pangs. Something new is coming forth. Just takes a while, it's not necessarily according to our time scale. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, there will doubtless be many more. And we ourselves, so comfortable for so long as American citizens, may at some point be asked to shoulder our share of suffering. But it doesn't matter because Jesus' promises are sure and certain. Something new is coming. Something new is happening. When Sarah was induced into labor on May 22nd, 2019, and I remember the date, it was a Wednesday, we weren't expecting things to take very long. You know, after you induce labor, you expect maybe the baby to come a day, maybe two later. Well, that didn't happen. We had to wait 5 days for little Abby's arrival. 5 days. And she did everything she could not to be born. She was holding on to the umbilical cord for dear life. Now, you know, I don't like pastors who talk about their children either, but, you know, just bear with me for a second. She was born that Memorial Day. It was long according to our time frame of things. But she came into the world, beautiful little girl, with her grandmother and her bawling father in the room. She didn't cry when she was born, but I did. There's a new world coming, a new world where Jesus will reign fully. And unlike human utopian projects you hear things would be really great if it weren't for those people, whoever those people are, or for this thing, or for whatever thing that people point fingers at. And I'm not pointing fingers at Nancy, you just happen to be in the general direction. Jesus' reign is different. Jesus' new world is governed by a love beyond our understanding. Instead of blaming or scapegoating or punishing like every other human power does, Jesus' reign puts all these things under his feet. The old ways of empire, division, hatred, exploitation, those things definitely have an expiration date. True shalom, which we can experience now in part, will be revealed in its fullness. And while we wait, Jesus also shows us how to live. Later in Mark 13, Jesus tells us to expect opposition when we live out this new way of love, of shalom, of forgiveness, of peace. For some reason, whenever people live out God's reign, it gets people really angry. It gets some people really angry. When Jesus lived out the reign of God by forgiving sins, healing the sick and suffering, making a prophetic stand against the temple establishment, that last one got him in trouble the most. But healing also got him in trouble. It got certain powerful people very angry. Angry enough to kill him. Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. But did he form an army? Did he try to cultivate powerful allies, friends in high places? Did he modify his message or tone to appease those folks? Did he stop healing on the Sabbath? Of course not. Jesus continued to form his most unlikely church with people from the underside of society. Fishermen, widows, tax collectors, among others. Jesus continued into the city resolute. The twin forces of the state and of the religious establishment did their worst. They infiltrated his community, they arrested him, they killed him. But the ultimate weapon of death, which is ultimate weapon of empire, which has always been death, could not hold him in that tomb. He rose again, and the world has never been the same. So in anxious times, we remember that something new is coming. And guess what? A big part of that something new is you. And it's me. It's congregations like this one, where we see the reign of God, where we strive to live according to his ways of justice, of peace, of mercy, of love, forgiveness, especially forgiveness. The church is the first place where Jesus' alternative community of Shalom was formed, and it is the place where we see glimpses of it today. The alternative community of the church has outlasted all empires, all reigns, all realms. And Jesus is faithful. He will bring in that reign in its fullness. Thanks be to God. Amen.